Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue our examination of the history of heresy by looking at the fourth verse of Jude. So let's read that verse again together. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons, who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness, and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm continuing today to go over the review of the seven major heresies that form the basis of all modern false teaching and apostasy. On the last broadcast, we saw how that sound doctrine was vital to the success of the church. Today, I want to review who these certain persons that Jude talks about here in verse 4 were and how they affected the Christian church. Now, over the last several broadcasts, we have learned together that all heresy is a perversion of divine truth. So in order for heresy to live and thrive, there must be ignorance on the part of the believer. Where there is biblical truth, heresy finds no foothold. Only by either not studying the Bible at all or by studying it incorrectly can false teaching come in and gain acceptance. But God is faithful, and He has provided everything that we need for life and godliness in His holy Word. But although God's Word has everything that we need, every answer to every question, that same Word is absolutely useless to us if we do not understand what He said. The more you get into God's Word, the more you see the need for it. The more that you study and research the Scriptures, the more you understand the value of them. And as you do these things, you will also see how shallow and how open to deception most people and most modern churches really are. Every heresy that came to the church over the last 2,000 years attacked one of three concepts. Number one, they attacked and misrepresented the grace of God and, by extension, the gospel itself. Number two, they attacked and misrepresented the character and nature of Almighty God. And number three, they attacked and misrepresented the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in either His full humanity or His full deity. And Jude puts it like this in verse 4 when he said that these heretics, these certain persons who were marked out by God for condemnation, turned the grace of our God into licentiousness. That is, they portrayed God's amazing grace as either not being powerful enough to save me and all by itself, or they portrayed this unmerited favor as something that allowed and even condoned sin after someone was saved. They denied our only Master and Lord. That is, these heretics denied God's sovereignty or some other biblical part of God's own nature and character, and Jesus Christ. That is, they rejected either Christ's divinity or Christ's humanity or Christ's position and purpose in the Trinity and in salvation. Now, in the first century, while Paul and John were yet writing their letters in the Gospels, these three heretical groups rose up to attack the church: the Judaizers, the Antinomians, and the Gnostics. And you may remember that we studied how both the Judaizers and the Antinomians fought against the gospel itself, while the Gnostics fought over the person of Jesus Christ. You and I studied that these three heresies and the battle to defend the Christian faith against them are actually recorded in God's Word for us to read. Paul did battle against both the Judaizers, or the legalists, and the Antinomians over what grace is and what grace is not, while the Apostle John fought against the Gnostics and their false teachings about Jesus. We saw how that the Judaizers, or the legalists, completely ignored grace, while the Antinomians abused grace. The Judaizers taught that grace was not enough to save a man without that man contributing something to his own salvation, while the Antinomians taught that grace was a license to live any way you wanted to once you were saved. We saw that neither one of these false teachings were right. Neither one was more noble than the other. Both are equally a perversion of God's grace and the gospel, and both are heresies that should be totally and completely rejected by the believer and the church. The modern Judaizer takes great pride in the fact that his life is more moral than the antinomian, while the antinomian takes great pride that he's not under the bondage of the legalist. But both the Judaizer and the antinomian have sinned in perverting the right way of the Lord. The Judaizer is wrong because the Bible clearly teaches that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, without any human effort or action or contribution at all in any way. But the antinomian is equally wrong because after we are saved, we are commanded by Jesus Christ himself to bear fruit, to live a godly life, to keep God's commandments, and to pursue biblical holiness. To read a good snapshot of the confrontation between Paul and the Judaizers, read about the Jerusalem Council found in the book of Acts chapter 15 and the book of Galatians. To read about Paul's rebuke to the antinomians, you can read Romans chapter 6. And we also saw on those earlier broadcasts how that both legalism and antinomianism are alive and well in the 21st century church. Many groups today preach a legalistic, works-oriented salvation that requires human effort or human cooperation in order for God to save them. Conversely, antinomianism is also going strong today in those churches where Christian duty and responsibility and obligation to walk holy, obey Scripture, and die to self is never taught, never preached, never practiced. Now, toward the end of the first century, after Paul and Peter had been martyred, another group rose up called Gnosticism. The responsibility to defend the faith from this attack fell to the Apostle John, who wrote his epistles and gospel during that same time. As we studied in those broadcasts, Gnosticism attacked the person of Jesus Christ by either denying that Christ was a real human being or by denying that he was deity. The Gnostics were prolific writers and wrote many spurious and blasphemous books during that time that renounced Christ's sinless life and made claims about Jesus that were scandalous and evil. This is why so much attention is paid by John to the deity of Jesus Christ alone with his humanity. John taught that Christ was the one and only of God, that he was the most unique person in all of human history. John boldly taught that Jesus was God Almighty wrapped in human flesh. John taught that Jesus was not almost a God. He was not a demigod. He was not an archangel. He was not a supercharged or supereducated or super advanced man. No. John boldly proclaimed that Jesus was God and that Jesus was also a man. John said that Jesus was the Son of God, the Son of David, and the Son of Man. John taught that Jesus was in the beginning with God, and that Jesus was God. But John also taught that Jesus was a man, who had come in the flesh, who had dwelt among them, and they had touched him, listened as he spoke, and they had seen him with their own natural eyes. John taught that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man at the same time in the same body without conflict or contradiction. We also studied how that the so-called lost books of the Bible are all Gnostic writings, as are the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Judas. The very popular Da Vinci Code book and movie are based upon an ancient Gnostic writing that talked about Jesus and Mary Magdalene in a wrong and sinful way. God proved himself to be faithful because as one heresy replaced another, God would raise up one man after another who would stand against the heresy until it was thoroughly analyzed, discussed, understood, rejected, denounced, and both the heresy and the heretic were excommunicated out of the church. Now, this was not done in a fit of rage or by a knee-jerk reaction to something that the fathers of the church didn't like or understand. The elders and deacons and pastors of the early church were not a bunch of self-absorbed men who ruled with an iron fist and who tolerated no disagreements or alternate opinions. We saw that the fathers of the early church were godly and humble and faithful men who held the mystery of God's truth with fear and trembling, and who made sure that the gospel was preserved correctly and handed down for us to know and believe and love and obey. These holy men begged with tears that the heretics would repent and return to their first love. The first several church councils that were convened to look at the various heresies were not harsh and cruel or merciless exercises in human stubbornness and bigotry and fear and superstition. Actually, these councils were very loving attempts at sincerely and thoroughly analyzing the heresy and trying the false teaching against the scriptures to see if they could stand. We went from the heresy of the Gnostics then to the heresy of Arius, which was called Arianism. We saw that Arianism also attacked the deity of Jesus Christ back in the 4th century. We saw how that Arius rejected the deity of Christ and nearly destroyed the Christian church with his heresy, due in no small part to the apathy on the part of the church leaders to defend the truth against such apostasy. But once again, God was faithful to raise up a man named Athanasius, who almost single-handedly exposed Arianism as a lie and convinced the church to reject his heresy and to produce a formal document that confirmed the deity of Jesus Christ. Next, we spent a long time studying the next major heresy called Pelagianism that rose up in the 4th and 5th centuries to attack the gospel of grace and the nature and character of God. Pelagius rejected original sin, total human depravity, justification by grace, and the sovereignty of God. Once again, an attack against the church was met by a faithful warrior for truth who stood against the lie. God raised up Augustine to do battle against Pelagius and correctly label Pelagianism as a lie from hell. Then much later, in the 16th and 17th centuries, God raised up a group of holy and devoted men called the Puritans to faithfully reject the rationalism of the Socinians. We also saw that although these heresies are ancient, they are not extinct. Each of these false teachings are alive and well and living somewhere near you. But although heresies are alive and well, we also studied that the best way, really the only way, to confront and expose and defeat each of these heresies, and in fact all false teaching, is by you and me humbly submitting to a systematic, line upon line, precept upon precept, formal plan of serious, in-depth study of the Holy Bible. And we saw that God's light will dispel all of the devil's darkness, that God's truth will destroy all false teachings, and biblical sound doctrine will replace ignorance and misconceptions and improper and misguided man-made doctrines. So that is our review of the history of heresy. If you would like a copy of this study on the seven major groups of heresy, please call or write me and let me know. Last year, God enabled us to send out over 1,300 CDs free of charge, as we have never made merchandise of the Word of God. And we would be happy to send you these 54 messages if you would let us know. Also, you can find these on sermonaudio.com. Lord willing, on the next broadcast, I'm going to begin to look at the next few verses of the Epistle of Jude as we look at what the Holy Spirit inspired Jude to write about how we can define the characteristics of the heretics. So, I pray that I have done what the Puritans talked about and that I have treated the Scripture fairly. I pray that verse 4 of Jude has been seared into your heart and mind. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will illuminate this verse in your own personal walk with God so that you and I may both be found faithful to earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.